some questions from devotees required to be answered. I'm back briefly in Budapest. It was a long trip back from Inishrat. It took us a day to get there and a full day to come back. Could have been in India in the same period of time. It was really a very wonderful experience. Radha Govinda were very exhilarating, very inspiring. There were many devotees there from Bhaktivedanta Manor congregation, Sankthan devotees from Soho Street. Altogether, it was probably about 40 or 50 devotees from the UK. Then devotees from Ireland came as well. Of course, we went there from Hungary, and Madhava Prabhu came, and we had great, really wonderful kirtans, and the overall atmosphere was very good. By the second day, everyone had really loosened up, and it was a very heartwarming experience, despite the fact that the weather was cold, and there was also no warm water, so we were taking cold water showers after perspiring in kirtan for many hours. But it was great. Prasadam was also very good. And we were all sorry to leave. It'd be nice to just keep on chanting forever. Now I'm here in Budapest for the day, and in the evening I'll go to another center, catch commit, and stay there until Thursday. And on Thursday afternoon I'll come back here. We have a preaching program at the temple with many guests. And on Friday I go for the weekend with Haripad Prabhu to Paris, discuss some further on developments in the preaching for Radha Parasishwar and Krishna Balaram. Okay, Vilas Manjari is asking, in Krishna book Prabhupada writes, by associating with a pure devotee, one can derive an imperceptible benefit, which is called Agyata Sukriti. He cannot understand how he's making progress. Yes, he makes progress by seeing the devotee of the Lord. Question is, what is this imperceptible benefit? Imperceptible is just that. It's something that you don't perceive, but it happens. When you look at the hour hand of the clock, you don't perceive it moving from minute to minute, but over a long period of time you notice that something has taken place. In the same way, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that yogis who take up spiritual life but are not successful and don't complete their efforts at perfection, they continue in their next life, and he says, Purva Abhyasena Teva. Automatically, they're continuing when they left off. So this is imperceptible. You can't perceive where it is that you got that spiritual benefit, but it's carried off from a previous life. Similarly, either in a previous life or in this life, if someone happens to associate with a devotee, not being aware what the benefits of that association is, either by touching or hearing or helping in some way, then one gets spiritual benefit, one advances in spiritual life, and without one knowing how, the desire for hearing about Krishna, for associating with devotees, awakens within the heart. In other words, faith begins to sprout, or at least the first symptoms of faith sprout within the heart, and the idea comes into someone's mind, why don't I go to the Hare Krishna temple? Where did that come about? One cannot perceive what the source of that desire is, but somehow or another it was awakened by having developed the qualification or the adhikar through the association of Vaishnavas. Okay, here's two questions from Naika. When the Brijbasis visited Kurukshetra, Srimati Radharani wanted Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. Does this pastime exist only in Prakat Leela, or are there similar pastimes in Aprakat Leela? As far as exactly the same pastime, I've not read and not heard, so I can't comment. I do not know whether there is a Kurukshetra in the spiritual world where from the gopis want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. No doubt they're aware of Kurukshetra, there's talk about it, and there's discussion about having brought Krishna back from there. Whether it actually takes place, I don't know. And another question, I heard that a devotee who's not so elevated should not pray from Prema, but first for Bhava. Could you please confirm? Bhava, Prema, they're the same thing. Bhava is the seed of Prema, so it is also Prema. But the general definition that Rupa Goswami gives is Kriti Sadyat Bhavit Bhava Bhava So Sananavita, is that when one wants to acquire Bhava, and one doesn't have it, that is called sadhan. In other words, sadhan is the devotional practices by which one hopes to acquire the seed of prema. And why is it that one is aspiring for bhava? Because bhava is the next stage. So certainly we want to get prema, but we want to get prema step by step. And this is the step by step process. First you go to bhava, and then you go to prema. The next stage is, is that is what I'm writing in Krishna Sangati, that a sadhaka, after achieving perfection, becomes eligible to take birth in the material world in one of Krishna's prakat pastimes. Yes, Srila Prabhupada writes that as well. I would like to ask how much perfected a sadhaka should be in order to be eligible to take birth in the prakat pastime. There's no such thing as far as I understand, as how much perfected. You're either perfect or you're not perfect. So one has to achieve perfection. Here perhaps the question can be that at the time of death, what level of success has a devotee achieved, or what level of success does a devotee have to have achieved in his sadhana before he gets some causeless mercy in order to be elevated to the stage of perfection. Srila Prabhupada had mentioned different things like 90% or 75%. In other words, you must be 75% perfect. And then through the process of leaving this body and transmigrating to the next one, one then becomes fully perfect by the mercy of the Lord. But in order to enter those pastimes, complete perfection has to be there. However, there may be this transition period at the time one leaves the body, or the process through which we are giving up this body, namely sickness, that one is coming to the perfected stage as a consequence of the mercy of the Lord. But to seek Krishna, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. And here's the last question for today. Well, this is from Koda Nitai in Page. Interesting question, maybe controversial. A congregational member asks how to understand the Chanaka Pandit Shloka, I never trust a woman and a politician. So she's right about the politicians. She's asking, what about the women? I think here the use of the word trust is what may be somewhat misleading. In terms of politicians, it's certainly very applicable in terms of ladies. Perhaps if we translate the word trust into predict, in other words, you can never predict what a woman is going to do. What is the reasoning behind that? Basically, here trust or predicting means that if you go along the basis of rational and logical thinking, then you expect a certain type of outcome. However, because ladies can be very, very rational, but simultaneously their emotion can be so powerful that it completely upsets their rational thinking. Therefore, they may go along in a very systematic way in terms of their thinking, speaking, and behavior, and all of a sudden just act completely out of character because their emotions have kicked in and done something which isn't a consequence of that type of systematic pattern. So that's what unpredictable or trust means. It's not because they're cheaters or liars or badly motivated. It's because under certain circumstances, the emotional side of a woman makes her behave in such a way that may be completely inconsistent with things that she's said and done in the past. Have experience of that? However, having said that, my experience is, unfortunately, is that in Kali Yuga it's also very difficult to trust men, despite the fact that they are supposed to be more logical, intellectual, and systematic in their behavior patterns. They become equally overwhelmed, sometimes by emotion, but more often by lust. And therefore, sometimes it's very difficult to know when they're also going to do something unpredictable. I hope that answers the question without irritating some of our lady listeners. I'm going to go now and put these up on the site, and I should be able to communicate with you all quite easily tomorrow from where I am. I hope everyone's happy and blissful in Krishna consciousness. A thanks to all the devotees who were there in Inishrat and made the event a real offering to Radha Govinda, and particularly to some of those Gurukuli girls. I call them Gurukuli, and they're not longer girls anymore. Nadia Bihari and others who are doing this really, really far out dance, dancing really, really wonderfully, that I'd really like to have our Hungarian ladies here learn. It's hard for me to describe what it was like, but when it was being done in a sort of moderate fashion, it was really very attractive, very mind enhancing, and reminded me of gopis dancing with Krishna. Hare Krishna.